You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is Jennifer Hebert.
I'm Morgan Nicole.
And this is Sophia Yagela. Welcome to Wisdom by Wessa on the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Woohoo! The board meeting is coming up. Sophia, what can you tell us about what you're going to talk about?
Yes, the Wessa board and the staff will meet in Dallas, Texas. And the board is assigned different committees, so each committee will meet to discuss some budgets and new ideas and anything else that's important to the Wessa Trade Show. And again, the Wessa board is a group of volunteer members, so they're all Wessa exhibitors, which is really helpful to have all that knowledge from the show floors directly, and they're voted on by the membership. So if you're interested in joining the Wessa board, feel free to let us know either before the general membership meeting or at the general membership meeting, and just look for some of the requirements in the next spring newsletter, and we'll love to have you.
Wait, we'll stop there. When somebody gets, when you're Wessa members, is the newsletter via email only, or is there also an old-fashioned one? How does one get their newsletter?
Yes, the newsletters are only via email to all the active members that we have in our Wessa membership.
So if you're, let's say scenario-wise, you joined Wessa 9.5 years ago, haven't touched it since. Shame on you. Do people fall off that email list if they're not active?
No, as long as you are active and you pay your dues, the annual dues, you will be in my list to get our wonderful newsletters with all kinds of fun information that you should always keep up to date with.
There we go. So if you're not getting your Wessa newsletter in your email box, first check your spam folder. And if you don't see it, you need to reach out to Wessa and say, something's gone wrong. It could be that you changed your email address and forgot to tell somebody. So make sure it shows up in your inbox.
Yes, you want to make sure that gets to everybody.
Oh, my Lanta! Today, you guys and gals are in for an incredible treat. One of my friends, Kirby Schnorr, who is a incredible TV host, reporter, podcast creator, and Western industry professional, is joining us today. We're going to talk about everything she is known for, and specifically about her career that is rooted in authenticity, storytelling, and smart partnerships. Kirby, welcome to the show. We are so excited to have you today.
Thank you guys so much. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. We have so much ground to cover. I chuckle because I'm like a kid in a candy store, like a kid on Christmas morning. There's so much good stuff we're going to talk about. You are a talented trailblazer in our Western industry. So let's jump into this thing. Tell me, how did you first get started in the industry and, of course, media? But how did this thing come about?
Wow. Thank you so much for that sweet intro. I'm excited to be here and chatting with you guys today. Well, I tend to get a little long-winded, so I will keep this short. Sometimes people tell me, Kirby, just land the plane, and so I'll make sure to do that. But I grew up on a family farm and ranch in California, and so I've just always been around livestock, agriculture, you name it. I went to school for mass communications, more specifically broadcast journalism. After graduating college, I moved to Fort Worth, Texas, took a job where I was in that field, and I have never looked back since. And so I have been reporting on the Western way of life, agriculture, livestock, you name it, for 13 years now, a little more, and not to age myself. And throughout my time, I've been able to obviously go across America, actually even beyond, and tell the stories of farmers and ranchers and how they live their lives and what they do. I like to say, you know, the people who feed and clothe the world. And through that as well, I've been able to sideline rodeo report. I've hosted red carpets. I have interviewed country music stars. I've interviewed fashion icons. I have really kind of dabbled in all of it. And so therefore, I've worked for RFD TV. We also owned the Cowboy Channel at one point, which was recently acquired. a little over a year ago by Teton Ridge, and I was their Western lifestyle reporter as well. And so, which led me to also co-creating a clothing line with a family friend of ours, of my family's, who's also based from California, based out of California, and it's called Lovely Ranch. And so I like to say that I love a full and colorful plate. I like to stack a lot of things on that. I like to keep myself busy. And so throughout my endeavors, not only do I report on the lifestyle and this way of life, but I also get to partake in clothing some of the people. And I think it's a full circle thing for me, is because I say these people feed the world, but again, they also clothe it. And what better way to be a part of that? Because I do love fashion, than to co-create a line.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up, you're from California. I did not know that. That makes sense now with the Lovely Branch and Robin, who's a dear friend and client of mine. Can't wait to get into the collection a little further into this, but kind of reeling it back to those early connections and those early stages and decisions. Tell us about some of those. Like, what had that biggest impact on your career getting started?
That's a great question. So I think I always wanted to be somewhat involved in agriculture, and because that's obviously my family's livelihood. We grew up farming and ranching, like I said, and my family predominantly just grows almonds now, and part of a packing plant and a hauler and a packing house, I should say. And I knew I wanted to, I would say, give back to that industry in some regard. I always thought I would go into politics. Thank gosh I did not, because, you know, I really enjoyed college. I had a lot of fun. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do many more years of this and be that serious. But this was an opportunity for me, obviously, to tell the stories of individuals who really impact people's lives, I felt like. And so when it was time for me to graduate and looking for jobs, that was not the easiest route. I had a hard time finding a job. I had several different internships. I didn't want to go into hard news. I didn't want to be a sports reporter. I interned in that realm as well. I really, really wanted to be in the agriculture sector. And I was like, how am I going to be able to do that? I did love to write back in the day. And my first interview in Texas was for D Magazine, actually. And that, as we know, newspapers, magazines, it was scaling back a lot. And it's still prevalent today, but they've scaled back quite a bit. And so I've leaned on a family friend, which, again, it's just full circle moment, just how many people, networking is a huge thing. And that's a big part of my story. And building relationships and harnessing those relationships is a huge part, I think, in the success of my career professionally and also personally. When I got to Texas, I used to show cattle growing up with my sisters throughout the country. And we had a family friend, Julie French McMahon, and I'll never forget calling her and saying, man, I really want to live in Fort Worth, Texas. I don't know how I'm going to do that. I don't know anybody here, but do you have any connections of who I could call, where I could get a job, et cetera? And she connected me with Superior Livestock Auction. They had an office down in the Exchange Building, down in the stockyards. As we all know, the historic stockyards, how fun. And as like a 22-year-old, I was like, that is exactly where I want to be. And now look at how much it's grown. But yeah, they had several programs on RFD TV. And I kept calling and calling, and I met with them, and they did not have a job for me. But truthfully, I just said, I'll do anything. I will answer phones. I will take out the trash. I just want to be here. I liked the environment of the company. I liked everything they stood for. And I knew that was just a good gateway into whatever my future might have held. And so that's kind of what led me to today. And I always tell people, they're like, how long have you been with RFD TV? And I'm like, it's actually funny you say that. I really have been with them since 2012, 2013, when I moved to Texas. And so it's kind of ironic, even though I was with Superior Livestock Auction, we were doing shows that were on RFD TV. And so, yeah. It's been a whirlwind, but it's been a way for me to give back, not to only my family and our livelihood, but the people who, like I say time and time again, and you'll hear me constantly say it, is just put food on people's tables and put clothes on their backs.
Wow, what a beautiful story and a beautiful story of how this all came about. And I love that about the Western industry is it is all about connections and it is about the networking and it's the heart from those people that just gives with so much generosity. And the fact that you had your contact there to really get you plugged in. And what I love about your story, Kirby, in general, is how inspiring it is that you are the gal who wears many hats. And also, you're not afraid to do it all. And I love what you said about you take out the trash if that's what it takes.
Yeah. And
any true cowgirl at heart knows we will do whatever it takes to get there. And I think that's really inspiring for any listeners. You know, it is an intimidating, you know, industry at first, but when you get in here, it's not. And any, you know, little inch in and any first step is something that could lead to great success and great life lessons. There's just so much to it, but so many good things. And piggybacking off of that, what criteria are you using when you're deciding whether to take a partnership or collaboration? You know, you're doing so much. What is that deciding factor?
So that's an interesting question. I actually, where I'm at in my career, and I will say I'm in my mid-30s, I'll give you that, which I mean, most people know how old I am. But so I've been at this, you know, since I was 22, 23. And when it comes to collaborations, and again, I never really focused on social media. And a lot of people said, man, if you really leaned into that at the beginning stages, just think where that career could have been. But that just wasn't the path I was taking for myself. I think it's great what people have made of it that these days and the careers that's even turned into certain individuals. I love that. And I think it's a great storytelling platform as well, all the digital spaces. I like to keep my personal life personal and my professional life professional for the most part. And sometimes there's crossover. And when it comes to collabs, I really don't do a lot, right? And so I'm pretty loyal to my career path, my job, and I'll take on other projects that align with my vision and my values of storytelling. And then as far as if I was going to get into the fashion realm, I really kind of stayed away from doing any collabs or anything like that because I really, really love fashion. It's deep rooted in my family's history. Like I said, I think it comes back from my grandfather. He worked in a men's clothing store. My great aunt was one of the main buyers for Neiman Marcus way back in the day in San Francisco. She traveled a lot to Dallas. Yeah, there's a lot of intertwine and interconnection. We used to be big cotton farmers out on the West Coast. And then we have a lot of family friends are still cotton farmers and they supply a lot to a lot of major brands over in Europe and beyond. And so when I say fashion is deep rooted in me, it was more so because of like what taking it back to those connections. So that's kind of an interesting aspect to my story. And I've always loved fashion. I've always loved style. And I've always loved clothing. I loved the artwork of clothing. And when people have come to me about certain collabs, I've appreciated people's designs. I've appreciated their clothing lines. I've appreciated their business models. And I would wear sometimes their clothes. I would do different things. But I never wanted to be strapped to one brand. And I wanted to make sure when I wore something or collabed with someone, we really, really aligned. And that was for me personally. And so I know jumping ahead a little bit when Robin called me and
let's jump into that collaboration.
We could jump into that. Yep. And so when she called me and it was COVID time and as little after COVID time, I would say, but they have the Hoffman Fabric Company. They have been in the textile business for over 100 years. And she comes from a long line of great innovators and creators, and she's one herself. And she grew up riding and showing cutting horses. And again, in California, if you're in the agriculture livestock industry in whatever realm, you kind of all know about each other, even though it's a large state and there's a lot of people in it, surprisingly, but you know each other. And so she called me and she said, I had started this athletic wear. It was just called Lovely right after COVID, her and her daughter did. And she's like, because, you know, we make and have all these fabrics and all these textiles for all these different companies. were just sitting around and we're like, why don't we do one of our own? So that's what they did. And then she's like, I was thinking, man, I want to get back to my Western way of life and those roots. Should I start like a Western line? And again, we had a family friend, Kathy Branco. She connected us and she said, call Kirby and see her thoughts because, you know, she works in that space of, will this work or not? And so she called me and I said, yeah, let's do it. And so I helped her and Anna, our main designer is Anna, and they started this line, Lovely Ranch. And there for a while, I was just helping them on the back end of things, you know, picking out fabrics, picking out designs, picking out silhouettes. Just really, we went back to the sketch board and we were doing all of that. And at one point she said, why don't we put your name on this? Like, why don't you have your own label with us? And I said, oh, no, it's fine. I don't mind being behind the scenes. I really just genuinely love, you know, clothes and all of this and the inner workings of it all. But yeah, I thought about it for a second. I was like, wait, you're right. Why not? Like, if we are taking the time to really create pieces that we love and that we want others to love. And again, I love clothes and I love style and I want people to feel good in what they wear. And I had told myself, if I was ever going to do a collab or be a partner on something. And Robin and I more so don't even call it a collab. We call ourselves partners because of that back end of the business. And so, yeah, so it just started from there. And so we created the Kirby collection off of Lovely Ranch. And I've always been a blazer girl because I think you could do a lot with a blazer, whether you can dress it up, dress it down. I wear blazers a lot in the airport. I wear blazers a lot with athletic wear. I wear blazers, obviously, on TV, and I wear them in a boardroom and any meeting, you name it. I wore them on red carpets, all those things. And so I've just always loved the blazer. And that's what we started with as part of my collection. And then it's taken off from there. And she's like, I think we need to do prints. I think we need to let you run with it on what you want. And we kind of have done that. And so that's also been interesting too, because there's designs and silhouettes and styles where I'm like, oh, I might not wear that. But then it's understanding, oh, there's a body type, there's a person, there's somebody out there who's looking for this. Just specifically, I might not wear it, but there is somebody that's going to wear it. And that's been an interesting side of the business to learn as well. So yeah, it's just been fun. It's taken off from there. And we have so many collections. I think we are wrapping up right now Spring 2027, which is wild. We just picked our fabrics for that. We are designing our silhouettes now. And before you know it, that'll be off, shipped off, and be put together. And we'll be planning that photo
shoot. On the way.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the way.
Your pieces are gorgeous, and everyone can find those too at Lovely Ranch. But like you were saying about the design process, and I recently have designed 3 wedding gown collections myself, and I know what that headspace has, you know, has to be. And so I love that you guys, like you said, you have joined a partnership. When you are in the design meetings and even before the design meetings, when you're literally, you're closing your eyes, you're dreaming it up, then you're going to pick out the fabrics and, you know, X, Y, and Z, and to bring it together, that takes so much creativity, thought, energy, but also as us, the designer, but for Robin to have so much faith and trust in you of, hey, Kirby, I know you do this well. I mean, Robin is an incredible, incredible woman. And so I love that she saw that value in you and you in her. I mean, this was truly like the perfect like match made in heaven. That was an incredible start to your line. And like you said, you have so many new pieces coming out. I've been seeing the sneak peeks and they're gorgeous.
Thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I love the Trailblazer. Y'all need to check that out on their Instagram and their website for sure. But let's jump into this podcast that you have. What inspired you to create the Ranch Her podcast?
Well, the podcast came about, so Rancher and Farmer, let me take it back a little bit. Farmer was created several years ago by a lady named Margie, and she traveled around and she started as an Instagram page and she loved photography and she was just enthralled with the women of this industry. And so she started the show. And then when it was time for her, she wanted to take a step back, be with her family, not travel as much because it's a lot of travel. I was already doing the first season of Ranch Her. And so we had wrapped that up. And then fast forward, Patrick Gotch, the creator and owner of RFD TV, Rural Media Group, he had said, hey, why don't you do Farm Her and we'll have Janie do Ranch Her, Janie Johnson. And I said, that works. And so we both did, and I did a first season of Farm Her after I had already done a first season of Ranch Her. She did her first season, which would have been the second season of Ranch Her. Fast forward, Janie became a mom. She's like, that's a lot of travel. I'm going to just focus on rodeos and being at home and being a wife. And her husband, he's a professional athlete, rodeo athlete. And so, which I was like, I totally get. So I took on both shows and we would do 13 episodes each, which with everything else that we have going on the network, that was not going to be feasible to do 13 episodes of Farm Her and 13 episodes of Ranch Her. So we decided to combine the show and I do now 13 total episodes of Farm Her, Ranch Her. But to suffice, you know, to make sure we're still telling stories of the women, we decided to create a podcast on the back end because not everybody, too, is wanting, willing, able, and truthfully have enough going on to be a part of a 30-minute show. But there are a lot of great women, we like to say hers, in this industry that have stories to be told. And just because they don't have the space for a 30-minute television show doesn't mean they don't have a story to tell. And so we thought the podcast platform, which we titled it Dirt Diaries, the Farm Her Ranch Her podcast, was a great place for them to also share their stories, share their lives, and share their love for the industry. And that's truly what it's become. And so it's just been a great outlet too. And sometimes people really take a step back, you know, if you don't have all these cameras in your faces and you're just talking one-on-one with somebody else, you're a little more relaxed, you're a little more at ease, and you're able to tell and share your story in such a different manner. And so that's been a great joy of mine to be able to partake in and to share these women's stories on that platform as well.
I love that. And the backstory and the background really helps, you know, see it all full picture. Kind of a speed round of last questions as we wrap it up. Tell us what a typical day looks like for you as a TV host.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's always changing. This is my first week home since, oh my gosh, I want to say like the NFR, to be honest. And so, I don't know when this is going to air, but for anybody hearing that, it's the first week of March, right? And so I only get 1 week home and then I hit the road again and I go to Austin, Houston, and Austin again, because we also highlight the stock shows, especially during the Texas swing. But a typical day is different. Sometimes I get to be just on podcasts or sometimes I'm recording podcasts, but other times I'm usually flying every week somewhere. And it depends on the project that we're working on. If we're working on, say, the podcast on Dirt Diaries, I'm going back to Nashville and we have our studio and we're doing it from there. Or I'm doing market day report hits from various locations, whether it's at farm shows or events that are surrounding the agriculture and livestock industries. I'll be at, like I said, stock shows, interviewing individuals that are showing their animals or committee members or volunteers putting on those livestock shows. If we're filming Farm Her and Ranch Her, I'm typically out on a farm or ranch somewhere in the United States, and we're spending time. We usually spend a day to 2 days, or it's usually a day and a half, but 2 days with that farm or rancher, and we're gathering their story, and then we're hitting the road to go to the next location. And then we get back home, we have a little bit of a breather. But yeah, again, I'm just typically flying all over, depending on the event or the show that I'm doing. And getting to talk to people. And really, as you know, Morgan, I'm sure you really enjoy doing this. You get to talk to a variety of people. It's so interesting to hear like what lights, you know, a fire under somebody and why they do what they do and who they do it for and what they love about their day to day so much. And I obviously every day is different. Not every day is, you know, suns and rainbows and all that fun stuff. But at the end of the day, I truly feel like, wow, I'm able to share the stories of people who really make a difference. And I think that's what I love about my job so much. And so, yeah, it makes it all worth it.
It is all worth it. And I have to say, you must have loved traveling or knew you had that travel bug in you before you started all of this.
Yes.
What a fun life on the road and getting to meet everyone and be a part of these special moments and memories for this industry. And in closing us, what mindset should young, this is like you giving advice, but what mindset do you think young professionals should focus on developing right now if they wanted to get in this like you did?
Oh, great question. I get this question quite a bit. It goes back to the beginning when I told you I wasn't afraid to answer the phone or take out the trash, regardless of how many internships I had or regardless if I had a degree or not. I think don't be afraid to do the work. Leave your ego at the door and really focus on those relationships. Network as much as you can. Build on the relationships when you meet people. Call on them if you're interested in an opportunity and take the opportunity. I think that's a huge thing, but I always go back to it's really not that hard. Just do not be afraid to do the work and put in the time, put in the energy, and really, I mean, just show up. Show up. People really need to show up these days. And there was a time period in my career where, I mean, Janie and I always laugh about this. We were not afraid to think we were better than. And so when it came time and, you know, here we were hosting a 3-hour live television show or interviewing some of the biggest name people in our industry and beyond, we were still getting anybody from the janitor or beyond coffee. You can't think you're better than anybody else. And you really just need to show up and be there and be willing to put in the effort, regardless of what that looks like. And I think that's why we've been in our positions for so long. And I think that's why we've had the opportunities continue to come our way rather than maybe some others that are up and coming in the industry or that have been in the industry. We never thought we were better than, and we were always willing to show up and kind of shell out. And that's what we did.
Amazing, Kirby. It has been such a pleasure getting to know you more, hear your story, and really dig in. So thank you. Thank you in your busy schedule for spending some time with us today. We loved it.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
Fascinating to hear her story. I love that she kept emphasizing, show up, do the work. It doesn't matter what career you want. You got to show up and do the work. Whether you want to be a rodeo rider, you want to be an accountant, you still have to show up and do the work. And you will find links to all of the great shows that talk about people who do that, show up and do the work, at our show notes. And you can go to wisdombywessa.com, I believe. And you can also subscribe on your favorite podcast player, whether it be Apple Podcasts or Spotify or another. Just go to your favorite podcast player and put in there Wisdom by Wessa. Hit the subscribe button. No, it does not cost you anything, although some of us of a certain age think, oh, subscribe, you pay something. No, that just makes it show up to your phone, so all you have to do is hit play. Ta-da!
Now remember, we are on a new routine. New Wisdom by Wessa and Retail Roundup episodes drop every Thursday. Available on the Wisdom by Wessa podcast feed.